Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
This morning, let's go to Ephesians chapter 6 to start out with. Ephesians, the 6th chapter. And I want to share a word with you. Starting there, we'll probably look at some other scriptures, most likely. But we'll begin Ephesians chapter 6. The word is good. God is good. All the time. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6. And what are you going to talk about? Well, I'm going to talk about this. The title of the message is Superimposed Faith. You say, well, what is that? Well, stay with me and you'll get a hold of this. Let's go in Ephesians chapter 6. And in the 6th chapter, Paul begins talking about the armor of God and about putting on the whole armor of God. He talks about how that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world and wicked spirits in heavenly places and so forth. I think we can see today that in our, not only just in our country, but across the world, we are in some intense warfare going on. And, I'd like to tell you, that it's going to get better in the world, but I can't promise you that. I can promise it's going to get better with God's people. I don't know about the world, they better come God's way. There is an end time, amen, and we're in it, amen. And so one of the things that we want to hit in the head today, and if this applies to you, I want you to let the Lord minister to you today. We're going to hit the spirit of fear on the head today, okay? And if you're dealing with fear, we're going to lay hands on you and pray for you and cast that thing off of you. I didn't say you had a demon. I just said there's a spirit of fear that attacks people. And people need delivered from it sometimes. And so we're going to deal with that this morning. But we're going to talk about superimposed faith. Now let's go here. In the midst of talking about the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 16, he talks about one particular piece of the armor, which is what I want to concentrate on today. And in verse 16, he says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. He said that the shield of faith is to be taken above all. In other words, maybe you've ever told your kids, you said, now, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, but especially don't do that. How many know what they're going to do? They're going to do that. But sometimes you warn them that above all things, don't do this certain thing. Paul said, all the armor is important. All of it's important. But he said, above all, taking the shield of faith. Now, I've studied this phrase out above all, out of the Greek. And one of the things that this above all means is to keep this out in front. Keep that shield of faith out in front of you. Or it literally means to superimpose it. Now, how many know superimpose just means, the word superimpose just means to place or to lay, one thing over another. Have you ever seen, sometimes like you can do all kinds of things today. You can take the picture of somebody and put it on somebody else's body. Or you can take a picture of, like the moon and superimpose skyscrapers on the moon. You can put something over. See, superimpose means to lay something on top of another. And a lot of times it means both are still visible. The thing that's behind it, you can still see it, but this is out in front. This is out in front. And you see that, you'll see people like they'll superimpose pictures. See, that's why, a lot of times we have the ability today to make anybody look like they're doing anything. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Are y'all live today? Yeah. Should I just go to lunch? Okay, I just want to check here. All right. So we have the ability to do that. You could take, like out in the desert, you could stick a Chick-fil-A out in the desert. Yeah, have you ever watched a movie? The guy's in the desert and he's crawling and he's seeing mirages. He's just about to thirst to death, die of thirst. He's seeing mirages and he's crawling. He sees an oasis. He gets there, it's not there. And then he sees a Chick-fil-A. And he gets there, and it's real. Only thing is, it's Sunday, and it's closed. And he dies right there on the at the front door. Amen. Well, when Paul talked about this above all, he's talking about, let's take our faith, our believing God, and superimpose it in front of everything. Everything in life. In front of all the armor, in front of everything in life, superimpose your faith. Let it be out front. And he said, it'll quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Hallelujah. Isn't that, how many know what all is? I heard a guy say one time, he said, you know, he said, it was a Bible student, said he spent, I don't know, months or a year studying the word all. And he said, you know, when I got done, you know what I found out it meant? All. Well, I could have told him that without even an hour of study. All means all. How many know if it quenches all the fiery darts, that means all of them get put out? Now, it doesn't mean it stops them from coming, but it puts them out. And he said, keep that out in front. Amen? Keep that out in front. You know, because a lot of times, you know, I mean, we can talk a big faith thing, but when trouble hits, that's when we got to really put our faith out in front. You know, I heard this story years ago about, there was a, he was a high wire, what do they call them? Walked high wires. Anyway, we have some today. You know, everybody seen that Nick Walendez? I mean, ever seen him? Boy, you people live in a world of your own. God, give me some new people. You never heard of Nick Walendez?
Yes.
Okay, you heard of Nick. Oh, thank you. Praise God. At least somebody kind of lives in society a little bit, you know. Nick is he's a high wire acrobat. He walks high wires, and he's spirit filled. He does it. Now, you know, sometimes I think thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God, but I saw him one time. He was walking, I think it might have been to New York. He was walking a high wire across two skyscrapers, and he climbs out the window, and they're showing him getting ready to get on that high wire, and you hear him speaking in tongues. I'm thinking, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. But anyway, if that works for you, brother, go for it. But I watched him actually walk across the Grand Canyon on a high wire. Did anybody see that? It really hasn't been all that many years ago. It's only been about 5 years ago. And remember, he had Joel Osteen there praying before he got out there. Better get somebody with some faith if you're going to do that kind of, you're going to live that way. But I remember watching him, you know, they had a camera on him, and it was pointing down, you know, and he stepped out on that, and I mean, all like, ugh. Because, I mean, you just saw, I mean, it's 1,500 feet. But there was a guy in the 1800s, his name was Charles Blondin, and he did many things across the walking across Niagara. You know, he actually got some on his back and walked across it and came back. He would go to the Canadian side and come back. And then he walked across it himself by himself, but then he got some on his back. Then he pushed a cook stove across it. You know, an old kerosene cook stove, I guess it was kerosene, and he fried an egg for himself out there in the middle of it. Yeah, he was, yeah. But then, here's the thing that really, you know, that they say that one time he took a wheelbarrow and he pushed it across, he went to the Canadian side, he turned around, came back to the U.S. side, and all the crowds there are watching him, and they're all cheering him on, way to go. He said, how many believe I could do that with a person in there? And they all said, oh yeah, we believe he could do it. He said, who'll get in? It fell deathly silent. See, it's one thing to say, I believe. It's another thing to put your life on the line for your faith. Come on. It's another thing to superimpose it, like Paul said, put the shield of faith out in front, to put it out in front to where you're going to let that be the first thing the devil and everybody else sees. They may see the issue going on in your life. They may see the problem. They may see the circumstances. But they may see that, but it's in the background. Yeah. It's not out front in your life. Out front in your life is your faith in God and in His Word. And so when you know, that's what Paul's talking about when he says, above all, take the shield of faith, superimpose it, put it out in front. That you may still see the problem behind you. It may be laying over the top of the problem, but it's out in front in your life. Now, I want to show you that this is a scriptural thing. This is the way the Lord Jesus Christ expects us to live our life. Amen. Paul told the church at Thessalonica one time, he said, he saluted them. He said, your faith grows exceedingly. And he saluted them. I use the word salute. I forget young people. To them, it just means this. Salute means to greet, to commend. When you look up, come on, are y'all with me? I'm a little older than some of y'all. I'm not as old as Brother Kenny, but I'm a little older than some of y'all. And so, you know, sometimes I remember Rod Parsley. I heard this story. This pastor was telling this story. Was in his wedding, I think it was, said that Dr. Summerall, Lester Summerall, performed their ceremony. You know, Rod Parsley and his wife. What's her name? Anybody remember what is her name? I can't remember her name right now. But anyway, his wife, he did the ceremony. Of course, Dr. Summerall was an older man at the time. And, the minister turns to you and he says, you may kiss your bride, you know. And he said to Rob Parsley, he said, you may salute your bride. Well, Pastor Parsley didn't know what it meant. What? He said, you may salute your bride. And, you know, Dr. Summer wouldn't say anything quiet. He'd just say it loud. You may salute your bride. What's that? Kiss her! Rod Parsley said, we weren't going to kiss in front of our church. You're not going to kiss in front of your church! You just had to know who Dr. Summerall was. He's like... But salute, you know, he commended the church. He said, for your patience and your faith and all your tribulations and testings and persecutions that you endure. Now, the word endure there in Thessalonians means to hold up under. In other words, you're not folding like a cheap chair. Your face out in front. Amen. So we may have things going on. You know, right now, a lot of people are going through some tough times in our country, but let's let our faith be out in front. Hallelujah. Our God hasn't fallen off the throne. Our God hasn't been dethroned by COVID-19 or anything else. Hallelujah. He's still our healer, our protector, amen, our financier, amen. So notice he said above all, everybody look at the next word. What's the next word? What's the next word? All right, if it tells you to take it, how many know you have to take? Let's try that again. Do you guys got voices or are you... All right, do we need to pray for, you know, cast the mute spirits out of you? Everybody, what's the next word?
Taking.
What does taking mean?
It
means you got to grab it, right? You got to grab onto it. So what is he saying? He's saying, it's up to you. See, in every situation in life, you can choose to believe or not to believe God. It's up to you. You want to believe God or you just want to just let life run over you. Now, let's go. I want to show you this out of Jesus' ministry. Let's go to Luke's Gospel, chapter 8. Let's go there. Luke chapter 8. Luke the 8th chapter. And there's a lot of things that we may talk about. But let's just look at some of the things that Jesus said. Luke chapter 8. Go there. You know, I really like John 5:4. You say, what's John 5:4 says? Well, in the King James, John 5:4 says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. But the message paraphrase, I don't really call it a Bible, it's a paraphrase. It's a guy telling you what he thinks the Scripture says, and sometimes it's funny, and sometimes it's good, sometimes it's just, you know, it wanders off the reservation a long way. But one of the things it says about John 5:4, the way it translates John 5:4, I really do like it, where the King James says that this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. The Message Bible says the conquering power that brings the world to its knees is our faith. I like that. There's a conquering power that will bring the world, and what does it mean? Everything going on in the world to its knees. It's our faith. How many believe that Jesus walked victorious over everything going on in life?
Amen.
And how many know that A lot of people don't realize this because they've never thought about it. I heard a guy say this one time, and I thought, well, you know, that's not so. He was preaching, and he said, we don't have any authority over the devil. I thought, well, if that's the truth, we're in trouble. Now, here's the thing that really disturbed me. I like this guy. I think this guy loves God. I think he loves people. And, you know, I think a lot of areas is a good Bible teacher. But in this area, he needs to do some studying because he said that, you know, and I saw an article where he was the fifth most influential preacher in America. I thought, no wonder the church is defeated. If this is number five and he doesn't know we have authority over the devil. Now I'm not naming him, so I'm not criticizing or slandering anybody. But I heard him say it himself. He said, we don't have authority over the devil, you know. Well, wait a minute here. I thought in the beginning God gave us authority. Didn't he? In Genesis, right? Didn't the devil say, you know, didn't the devil say later on in Luke, he told Jesus all this, all these kingdoms will I give to you and the authority of them, for it's been delivered to me. All right. So that Adam had it, but now the devil's got it. What happened? Well, when Adam sinned, he gave it to the devil. All right. But when Jesus came, he got it back for us. Now you got to know, Jesus didn't come to get authority over the devil for himself. He already had authority over the devil. He became a man to get it for mankind. Remember what he said? All authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth. Therefore, you go. Or he delegated it to us. See, it's the same thing. It's a repeat of Genesis chapter 1. Only I think it's even deeper. And so, this man, when he said that, I thought, well, man, if that's true, we're in trouble. But it's not true. We have authority. And so, but a lot of people just think it's up to God, but it's not. It's up to us. It's what we permit. Remember what Jesus said? Whatever you bind on earth is bound. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed. You and I do the loosing and the binding, not heaven. Heaven just, whatever we bind first, see, then heaven moves, see. Amen. Now, let's look here in Luke chapter 8. Are you there? Let's go to verse 41. We'll just kind of cut in on this. It says, and behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come to his house, into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay dying. But as he went, the people, the King James says, they thronged him, they pressed him. There was a lot of people. Now, when you read this out of, I think it's Mark's account, Mark adds this detail I like. He says, when Jairus came to him, he said, come and lay your hands. He besought him. Come and lay your hands on my daughter that she may be healed and she shall live. See? So he spoke what his faith. Come lay your hands on my daughter and she shall be healed. Now notice, and he said, and she shall live. That's where his faith was at. Get Jesus to come and lay his hands on my daughter and she will be healed. All right. Another person one time said, don't come to my house, just speak the word only. That's where his faith was at. See. So Jairus has spoke his faith. All right. Now in the midst of this, all right, as he's coming, there's a woman with the issue of blood that's had it for 12 years that stops him. Now, see, she's not even supposed to be out in public. And here she is. She's the Bible, when you read the story of it, she suffered many things of many physicians and had this for 12 years, and they couldn't help her. And when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. So she came out, and she has literally interrupted this process. Jesus is going. Now, how many know when you call 911 and they send the EMTs, you really don't want them stopping and going through McDonald's drive-thru on the way to your house. Is that right? You don't want them taking detours. So how many can understand, Jairus has a daughter that's at the point of death, and he wants Jesus to come and lay his hands on her. He really probably isn't wanting Jesus to stop and pray for anybody else. But yet, This woman stops Jesus. You know, Jesus just didn't get in a hurry, did he, sometimes? I mean, he just believed God. I mean, Lazarus, when they told him Lazarus was sick, he waited 2 days till he was dead. And then he did something. Now, so this woman here, you know, she comes to Jesus. And not only does she come to Jesus and get healed, but the Bible says she told him all the truth. She told him the whole story. Now, some of you don't know this, but years ago in our churches, we had testimony meetings. In other words, people could stand up and give testimonies. We finally stopped them because they degenerated into hard luck stories. Amen. And gave more praise to the devil than they did to God. And we said, we don't need that. You know, if that's the way you're going to go with it, we'll just stop it. But I can remember people getting up and saying, well, we went down to the mall yesterday and I ran into Bunny down there. And I'm telling you, I hadn't seen her in years. It was so good to see her. And we're always like, get moving here. You know, on and on and on. This woman told him the whole truth. All the details. It's been going on for 12 years. You can just see Jairus, hurry up, hurry up. I want you to notice what happened. Look at this. Verse 49, while he yet spake, there came one from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, your daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. It's over with. It's too late. How many of you know the news doesn't get much worse than this right here? This is his only daughter. 12 years old, and she's dead. How many of you know that's as bad as it gets, right? Now, but I want you to notice now. Now remember, we're talking about, what are we talking about? Anybody know? Superimposed faith. Putting your faith. Come on, help me out now. I'm needing a little help this morning. If you're not going to help me, I'm going to go to lunch. You going to help me? You think I'm kidding, but there's a door right there and I can get out of it. All right, help me out a little bit. Do I come and pray for you sometimes? Well, if you ask me to. All right, help me out a little bit. Now, notice this. The news is as bad as it gets. But verse 50, but when Jesus heard it, he answered him saying, notice this, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. What did Jesus tell him? Well, first thing he said is put faith out front. Put your faith. Superimpose your faith. Put your faith out front. Let your faith go out front. Don't let the fear go out front. Now, you got to know fear is going to try to attack. When you hear bad news, fear is there to try to get you. Isn't it? I mean, it's there. It's there talking to you. You know, it's there. That's when you got to let faith answer the door. You got to say, faith, you're going to have to answer the door here. Amen. You got to keep your faith out front. Notice, it wasn't hard what he told him. He said, just fear not, believe only. What's that? Keep believing. Keep your faith. You put your faith out there, keep it out there, and she shall be made whole. Hallelujah. See, they're superimposed faith. Now, let's go to another story. Let's go to Mark chapter 4. This is a story of Jesus and his disciples in a boat. And you don't mind we read some scripture this morning, do you? Mark chapter 4, let's go there. Mark the 4th chapter. And I want to read just some verses here about Jesus and his disciples when they were in a boat on the sea there, on the lake. And verse 35, Mark 4:35, the same day, when the evening was come, he said unto them, unto his disciples, let us pass over on the other side. And when they had sent the multitude away, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so it was now full. Now the Greek says a mega storm. This is a humongous storm of wind. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And there was a great, and the wind was ceased, and there was a great calm, or a mega calm. I think it's interesting that during all this, Jesus is asleep. Wow. And notice what he said. He said to them, thank God you woke me. That's not what he said, is it? Actually, he got on to them, didn't he? See, if you read this right, he is rebuking them. You're going to wake a preacher up, you better have a good reason. Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Now let me stop, and I think I'll read verse 41 before we talk about this. He said, just ask them, why are you so fearful? Look at the next verse. And they feared exceedingly. Okay. I mean, they were a little slow. Why did he say this? I want you to think about this. These disciples, Peter, James, John particularly, were commercial fishermen. They knew this Sea of Galilee. They fished on it every day. Right? They were out there all the time. So they knew exactly when trouble hits. See, what I'm saying to you is when whoever it was, whether it was Peter or whoever it was, most likely Peter, when he said, Master, don't you care that we're perishing? They woke him up and said, don't you care? How many know Peter was not overreacting in the sense that they weren't in trouble? They were in trouble. He would know, wouldn't he? He would know. He would know, you know. And so that's not the issue. Here's the issue. The issue is he says, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? What are we saying here? Well, about our message that we're talking about today, superimposed faith, Jesus is simply saying, why didn't you put your faith out front? Why did you let fear lead you? Why didn't you let faith lead you? Well, yeah, but we are in trouble. Yeah, but wait a minute here. Did not Jesus himself say, let's go to the other side? Yeah. Is he the one that said that? Yeah. All right. Do you think if he said, let us go to the other side, he's going to let you go out there in the middle and drown? No. Do you think that the Jerusalem News in the morning is going to say, Son of God drowned in boating accident? Cross things off? God intended to do a good thing here, but he didn't make it. I mean, that's not going to happen, right? Do you believe that his word is just as good today as it was then?
Yes.
Then do you believe that if he said something about your life or about my life, that if we'll just keep our faith out in front on that, we'll make it? Do you believe that? Right. All right. See, the only way these disciples would have sunk is if Jesus hadn't have been in the boat and used his faith, because they were full of fear. Fear would have sunk them. Remember what Job said? He said, that which I greatly feared has come upon me. That which I was afraid of has come unto me. See, I've got a teaching that I teach on the shield of faith. And I talk about how the shield of faith, which we read that verse, it quenches all the fiery darts of the wicked, but fear lets it all in. Well, yeah, but what if I got an issue in my life? You're supposed to let your faith go out in front. Well, how do you do that? Well, we'll talk about that in just a little bit, how to do that. See, the same thing's true. Remember that we all know this. Well, let me just say this about this before we move on here. I want you to notice that Jesus said this to him, where's your faith? How is it you have no faith? Now see, I made this statement during the offering time, but I want to back it up with Scripture. Jesus right here is letting us know we can use our faith for more than just salvation. Right? These guys got in trouble out on a lake. Anybody ever been out on a lake and got in trouble? I've been out on the river and got in trouble. Go fishing on the river. I remember one time I got out there, and I knew better. I was young, you know. And, you know, when you're young, you know, I was just a teenager. And when you're young, you think you're invincible. And, you know, you think, well, you know, I got a long time to live. Well, not if you act like a fool, you don't. And so I was acting like a fool, and I took the boat motor. The boat was already down there. We kept it docked on the river, but I took the boat motor down there with me. And I looked out there, oh, this river's too high to be, get, you know, go fishing on, you know, just was way up there, and you can run into a lot of problems. Logs and everything else hit your boat and everything else. You can have all kinds of issues. And so, you know, I got out there, got where I wanted to fish, and you know, I just and you got to put the anchors out. Well, there's only one problem. It's high and the current's flowing really fast. If it's slow, it's not a big issue, but it's moving along. It's booking along. And there's just me. So I decided, you know, here's what I got to do. I got to throw the back one out and run real fast and throw the front one out. Well, that was a dumb idea. When I threw that back one out, I didn't have time to get to the front of the boat to throw the front one out. That anchor hit, and when it did, that boat just began to spin like a top. And I thought, well, this is my last day on earth. And, you know, people say, well, you know, if I ever get in trouble, I'll have time to repent. No, you won't even think about it. Trust me. You just think about saving your life. And so I was able to quickly get that anchor back up, and it put me over in the trees and the bushes, and I survived through it. But that current flowing so fast, I mean, it just moving along, and you get in trouble. Well, see, these disciples, you know, they knew they were in trouble. I said they knew they were in trouble. But here's the problem. Jesus is simply saying to them, he's saying, where is your faith? Why didn't you use faith? See, if I'd have been a believer at the time, I could have repented from my foolishness and used my faith. Are you with me now? See, faith can be used for natural things just as well it can for spiritual things. Well, you don't sound convinced. But it can be. I've used it for a lot of different natural things. Now, of course, those aren't the most important things, but they are things. Amen. Now, think about this. The children of Israel, remember that we talk about this a lot, about the children of Israel that went into the promised land, you know. They went in to spy out the land. How many remember that? And they sent in 12 spies, and 10 came back with an evil report, the Bible calls it. They said, we can't go in there. The land, you know, it eats up the inhabitants. The people in there are giants, you know, and we're grasshoppers in their sight. But Caleb and Joshua said, let's go at once. Let's don't even wait. Let's go right now and possess it because their defense has departed from them and they are bread for us. We would say that today. We'll eat their lunch and pop the bag. See, that's what they were saying. Let's go right now. Well, what's the difference? Help me know. Both saw the same thing. But two of them superimposed their faith on top of it. And said, you know what? I'm not going to look at those giants first. I'm not going to look at that trouble. I'm going to look at my faith first. Hallelujah. My faith in God. Amen? Now, let's go to one last scripture this morning. Let's go into the New Testament, Romans chapter 10. Let's go there. And we'll end right here. Romans chapter 10. Romans the 10th chapter. I want to just read one verse. It's a familiar verse. Matter of fact, we say it around here all the time. I'll have you to quote it. But let's read it. Let's put our eyes on it this morning. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. You got it? It says, so then faith cometh by, and hearing by. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Here's what I've learned. Fear comes the same way. It comes by hearing, and hearing something besides the word of God. Now, I'm going to tell you some things I think you know. But, you know, actually, we had a quote in the bulletin last week about, I don't remember exactly how it went, but if you spend more time, you know, with the news media than you do with your Bible, your discouragement's self-inflicted. All right? So if you're, listen, thank God for honest media people, all right? There's honest media people somewhere. But I've even seen them like, you know, they try to get it right, but they just don't understand journalism today. For instance, there's a flood going on in Midland, Michigan. That's where Dr. Barclay's from. Devastating. I mean, two dams broke. It just released the water. I mean, they already had a flood. They already had flood by rain. But then two dams gave way. It released the water in the lakes and just flooded it. I mean, Phyllis and I are looking at pictures of that, some of that where we go when we go to Midland. It's just underwater. I mean, there's places where we go, like walk on a trail, and it's probably under 12 feet of water. All right. Dr. Barclay's church and his home and all are all safe. Some of his church family had damage to their house, but no one got hurt. So thank God for that. But I'm watching the news media. I thought I'm going to see what the news media has to say about this. So I click, and recorded the news to watch it later. And I'm watching, and the guy that's given the story on the flood in Midland is in Chicago. I thought, this is really shoddy journalism. But they've gotten so lazy. And look, if you're a journalist here, I'm not talking about you. Are you watching your journalists? There are some good journalists. But there's such shoddy journalism. It's like, go get the story right. I remember a story I read years ago about how this minister was helping this guy that got saved. This guy was actually, he was a high priest in the Church of Satan, and he got born again in this minister's meeting. And of course, once he did that, the Church of Satan kicked him out, And he truly gave his life to Jesus Christ. But now he doesn't have any place to live. He doesn't have any income. He doesn't have any. So this minister helped him and got him an apartment and got him some wheels, something to drive, And this was like 1987, I believe it was, when this happened. And I remember it happening, and I remember the minister, and I remember all the situation about it. And the news media, the national news media, they said, look, this guy got saved, and this minister took the church money, and he put him up in a really fine apartment in Los Angeles and bought him a Lincoln. Well, another Christian organization, news media, went investigated it, and they caught up with the guy. They found out that everything that the news media said was true. But here was the problem. The apartment he had in Los Angeles was $400 a month. You do the math. That means it was not very nice. The Lincoln he had was 10 years old. So everything they said was true, but it was pasted in a way to make it look bad. All right. So if you believe everything the news media says about COVID-19, that's why you're in fear. That's exactly why you're in fear. You mean they're not right? They've proven they're not right. They've had to change it and change it and change it. What you need to do is find out what the Bible has to say about He takes all disease away from the midst of you. Hallelujah. I'm not telling you not to take precautions. Don't tempt the Lord your God. But I'm simply saying, don't believe what they're saying about anything. I never trust the world on anything. I always go to God's Word first. I never take the world as final authority on anything. If they say it's Tuesday, I'll check the calendar. Amen. See, and if we allow all this, reports, bad reports, evil reports. Sometimes over the years I've had people say, Pastor, pray for me that I'll get a good report. And I understand what they're saying, and I will, and I agree with it. But the truth of the matter is you already got one. Right? You may go to the doctor or the banker or your financial guy. He may say, give you a bad report, but here's a good report right here. Hallelujah. I remember back, I forget what year it was, it's been several years ago, when we started going through a recession and people started losing their money, just kind of like what you're seeing today where their 401ks, they tanked, they went to nothing. I felt for the people. Some of the people that were older, they're now about Kenny's age, and all their money just went down the tube, and here they are, they've worked hard. How many know you have a heart and you feel for them? You know what? Some of them went out and took their lives. That didn't solve their money issues. But see, they just kept listening to that instead of finding out what God had to say about their finances in His Word and put that inside of them. Faith cometh by hearing. But the hearing has to be the Word of God. You're not going to get any faith out of listening to that negative report over and over and over again. Are you with me now? You know, you look at it, man, I looked at mine. I don't have much of a retirement account, but there's a little bit in there. I look at it, and I mean, well, man, some money's gone. I'm not worrying about that. I'm trusting God. Amen. Not planning on retiring anyway, planning on refiring. But you know what I'm saying. I mean, you know, when you get a little older, sometimes you might slow down a little bit. I don't know. You might want to. You might want to sit on the porch a few days. Well, you do what you want to do. You know what I'm saying? You know how people say, I'm never going to retire from my job. Well, good. I'm glad you feel that way. But if I worked a secular job, you know, this is the very minute I could retire, I'm gone. I mean, if it happens at noon, I'm not coming back in the afternoon. I'm gone. Now, I'm not going to just sit down and grow old and do nothing. I'll work for God or do something. But you know what I'm saying? So you got to just play whatever works for you. You know, my dad, when he retired, he went back to work. He didn't need the money. He just was bored. I just never get that bored. I'd find something to do. Amen. But faith comes by hearing. But fear comes by hearing. See, what we got to do in this day that we're living in, we got to make sure our hearing of the Word of God's adequate. You know, the devil will give you mental pictures, won't he? Right? Of all kinds of failure, how bad it's going to be, you know. I mean, you know, you have a little financial bump in the road and the devil will start giving you mental pictures. You're living out on the street underneath a bridge. You're eating dog food. And all you had, just a temporary setback. But see, he'll build that up. That's why you got to keep an adequate supply of the Word going inside of you. See, just like the King James, I like this. It says, faith cometh. Amen. Well, I like to say it this way. Faith cometh. When faith cometh, fear goeth. Amen. 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 One of the things, as you can close up now, one of the things that the Scripture said in the book of Acts, it's really, really cool, is this, that when they arrested Peter and John for preaching, they arrested them. And one of the things that's really cool is it says that they perceived, the King James says, that they were unlearned and ignorant men. And it just meant that they were uneducated, they were untrained by the world's standards. Okay, they didn't have a college education, they were fishermen. But boy, did God use them. Amen. And so, you know, that God doesn't, you know, education's good, but God used these men. They didn't have it. But here's one of the things that I think is really cool. It says, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, but when they saw their boldness, they realized they've been with Jesus. See, that must have been one of the outstanding things about Jesus was he was bold in his faith. And when they saw their boldness, they said they'd been with Jesus. I gather from that if we spend time with Jesus, when we spend time in the Word, how many know we're spending time with Jesus? When we spend time in the Word, there's a boldness of faith comes on us. Hallelujah. Why? Because faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. Hallelujah. You know, I it's like I said, I don't mean to be gloom and doom here, but we just got to face reality that Jesus said in the last days certain things would come to pass. We can't pray them away. We can't believe them away. They're going to come. Because He said they're going to come. Okay. But what He did tell us is that we're not of this world. We're not supposed to expect the same results that the world's getting right now. Amen. I don't expect as things escalate in this world, problems escalate, which they are, and they probably will continue. But not for us. We're to be the answer. We're to be there to help. We're to be there with the blessing. Amen. You know, but it doesn't, you know, a lot of churches went, you know, when a lot of churches went to, we all had to go to live stream. Are you with me? And so people weren't coming to church, and churches were, oh my gosh, we're going to go under, we're going to sink. Well, some of those churches got in trouble because they let their fear go out in front of them. Amen. But, you know, God's our source, right? I asked and found out that we were off like 8 weeks, 7 weeks, something like that, 7 weeks. I've checked, our income went up. So go home, everybody. No, just a joke. I'm just teasing. It's not as fun without you. But, my point in saying this is, see, they expected that. They expected that. Now, that doesn't mean you're foolish, you know, and you just say, well, okay, it was a great time to, you know, add on to the church. Well, that, you know, just use some common sense. But don't expect it to go bad. Amen. And thank God we were able to come by way of live stream and do those kind of things. Thank God. Thank God for people that know how to do it. Amen. Glory to God. Did you get anything today? Superimpose your faith.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.